God of all creation calls us here, and we come to celebrate all of God's good gifts. Good morning once again, and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you chose to join us this morning, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending recently, we are delighted that you're here. And those of us who are here week in and week out will be seeking out folks we don't know to shake your hand and welcome you. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, find someone you don't know and introduce yourselves, because we would love it if you would make a home here with us. One important way to do that is by being involved in what God is doing in and through this particular congregation. You can find lots of information in your bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up just a few announcements now. First of all, there will be a call charge conference at 5:30 p.m. at the opening of the regular ministry table meeting on February 10th, 2015, to provide for increases in the compensation of the appointed staff for 2015, commensurate with that of the lay staff. This has to be approved at a charge conference. We can't just do it like we can for other laity. If you are a member of Ministry Table, you're expected to be there, but any one of you is invited to attend if you would like. We are still collecting peanut butter. We are restocking the shelves at Second Harvest. You'll find bins around the church. As you come in from the parking lot, you'll see a big blue bin in which you can put that peanut butter. We'll continue to collect it throughout this month. I hope you will find a way to help contribute to that. Also, the past couple of weeks, we have been looking at ways to be involved in group life at the church. 2 weeks ago, it was covenant discipleship. Last week, it was Bible study. This week, we're looking at participation in Sunday morning classes. You'll find an insert that lists all of our Sunday morning classes. If you are not involved, let me encourage you to find one and get involved in it. It will help you become more a part of the life of the church, and I think will contribute to your life in significant ways. But others today are going to talk more about that. Our preacher this morning is the Reverend Michael McCord. He is the Director of Collegiate Ministry Resources and Training at the General Board of Higher Education and Ministry. Michael served churches and was a campus minister in Georgia before he came to Nashville. He travels around the world resourcing campus ministry and colleges, and He and Emily have attended West End for the last 5 years almost, and during that time, they have added two little McCords to their family and to our family. So I'm pleased to welcome Michael as our preacher today. And our witness, we've had a witness each of these 3 weeks, our witness is our own Sue Smith. So they will be able to tell you a whole lot more about Sunday school and probably inspire you more than I can in just a brief announcement. You know, it's God's Spirit that brought us here, and it's God's Spirit that breathes through us while we're here, and it's God's Spirit that sends us out into the world to share the loving light of Christ everywhere we go.
Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Our hearts in true devotion bow. Thy Spirit send with grace divine, and let thy truth within us shine.
From God comes my salvation.
For God alone, my soul waits in silence.
God alone is my rock and my salvation.
God is my fortress. I shall never be shaken.
Trusting in the promise of grace, let us pour out our hearts in confession before God. Forgiving God, we repent of all the ways we turn from you. You call, but we do not listen. You show us your path, but we prefer our own way. Forgive us, heal us, and lead us back to you, that we might show mercy to others. This is the word of the Lord. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven by God and given new life. Amen. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Karen Lawrence and Christian Lawrence bring their daughter, Ruby Carolina Lawrence, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Karen and Christian, I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves to you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching she, may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life. Congregation, do you, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and commitment to Christ? Answer by saying, we do. Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and live and Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in a way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called us disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. With you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child? Ruby Carolina, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you'll pray with me, put your hands on her. Ruby, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being a child of Jesus Christ, may walk in the ways that lead to life. Amen.
Will the congregation please stand and face Ruby Carolina? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Ruby Carolina to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Ruby Carolina, and we welcome you Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. And Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Any of the children who'd like to come, or adults if you want to come sit on the floor too, you're welcome. Good morning. Wow, it's good to see you all this morning. Thanks so much for coming up here. It's an honor to be able to hang out with you for just a couple of minutes. Oh yes, come on up. I want to tell you a little bit. I want to start off with asking you a question. Do any of you have a younger brother or sister? Yes. Oh, this is him right here. You're the one, huh? Oh, okay. All right. Now, do you remember when the younger brother was born? Some of the things that your parents did to help get the house ready? We just had a little baby boy. He's 3 months old. And before he came home, we had moved into a new house. We had to pick out the perfect color blue paint. And my older daughter helped me paint the walls. And then my wife, Emily, she went to look for the perfect bedding for our new little boy, because we'd had a girl, so we couldn't use her princess and pink colored stuff. We had to get these blue, and you know what we chose? We chose one with elephants on it. And that's important to me because elephants are my favorite animals in the world. I love them. And my little daughter Ellie, she had an elephant in her room, and she said, I want to help get this place ready too. So she gave her elephant to Austin, our little boy, as we prepared that room for him to come home to. Today's sermon, the story that we're going to read about, is about how we prepare to bring new people into our homes and how we bring Jesus into our lives. And that it takes some work sometimes to make room for people, and especially if they surprise us. So listen for it. And then this week, what I want you to think about is how you can make room in your house for people to come and visit, or how you can make room for new friends at school, or how you can make room for God to come and live in your heart even more, and what that would look like. So today is all about making room, about new things, and about Jesus being part of that new thing. Let us pray. God, we thank you for these children and for the incredible witness that they share with us. We ask that you be with them this week to help them to find ways to make room for God to live within them, and for them to make room to engage with new friends and new family. But also at the same time, we pray for their friends and people at their school that they might make room for them to come into their friendship circles so together they can share the love of Jesus with everyone they come to meet. In the name of Christ, amen. Thank you, guys. So the email read, "Please receive my cousin at the airport." It was from one of my wife's friends, Bookery, whom she met during a 2-month mission stay in Burkina Faso, which is up in West Africa. They had remained friends for some time now. Still to this day, we exchange emails back and forth. Bookery still doing mission work, helping to get medical supplies and medical personnel to parts of West Africa. We stayed in touch all these years. But this particular email came several years ago when we lived in Georgia, and it was a cold January night, much like these days that we've had. Emily happened to look at her phone and see that it popped up, and the email read just as I simply said, one statement, "Please receive my cousin at the airport." There was no name, no flight itinerary, no date, no picture. And all we could imagine as we sat there that is some young person is traveling from Burkina Faso to Atlanta, Georgia, and will arrive in Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport by themselves. You can imagine how anxious we were about this. And so we immediately wrote to Bookery and said, please tell us their name and maybe a picture and what flight they're on so that we can go and greet them at this airport. Well, knowing the time difference, we realized we probably wouldn't get a chance to get that information back in time. So we quickly started to look at possible flights that would travel from Burkina to Atlanta. And we found just a couple, and they all incidentally landed the next morning. And so we quickly went to bed, got up early in the morning, made some posters that said, "Bookery's cousin." What else did we have? So we went to the airport, and we were those people standing out there. And if you've flown into Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, it's a massive, cavernous place, and just thousands of people moving through. And we stood there and stood there and stood there until finally Emily said, "Oh, there he is. He looks just like his cousin," thankfully. And so we ran up to him, and we held the sign up that said Bookery's cousin, and he just nodded. And we gave him a big hug, and then we quickly realized that Yusuf knew no English. And we knew of no plan other than to receive him. And so we did the only thing we thought we could do. We took him home. Now that may seem completely outlandish to us, unbelievable that someone would fly all the way from the other side of the world to come here to the United States without a clear plan of where they're going and who will meet them there. It seems completely preposterous that that would happen. But incidentally, after all of these years, almost 5 now, working for the Global Methodist Church and serving the more than 1,400 ministries that your church, that all of our churches support in more than 80 countries, I've learned that maybe we're the ones who are the outsiders. Maybe we're the ones who look for the flight itineraries and the plans and the names, because the rest of the world, the role of hospitality, of welcoming a spontaneous traveler is a great gift to them, and their response is unbelievable. I can remember traveling in some small villages, and they'll see me and not know that I'm coming, and climb and grab a coconut and bring it to me, or instantly welcome me into their home. Their way of living in many of parts of this world expresses a hospitality that's so unknown to us because we're so organized and so busy, and we have massive airports. So maybe we're the outsiders. I think that this passage today, which I know may be a bit confusing for you, offer some insight for us about how we live as Christians. Now, admittedly, how many people have you read the birth of Jesus story outside of Christmas? It's one of the things we don't do. We sort of compartmentalize our scripture into certain periods of time. And the Christmas narrative, the birth of Jesus, always for us is in December. And we read it in light of that whole experience. Well, one of the things that we've recognized over time is that when we as Christians, particularly here in North America, read a passage during December, along comes with it a host of traditions. Some of those are really valuable, wonderful traditions, family traditions, local church traditions. Then you have the broader historical religious traditions, but you also have the consumeristic traditions that we have about what Christmas looks like. It's impossible for us to read the story of Jesus being born without thinking of elves and Santa Claus and stockings and Christmas presents and family coming or not having family there. All of those things, those wrap that whole story around. So sometimes I think it's incredibly valuable to take something that's so familiar and read it in a place that seems a bit unfamiliar. So that's what we're going to do today, and I hope you'll humor me in this exercise. So we know the common story, right? The story that Jesus is born in a manger behind some inn, and that Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem on the back of a donkey. I still can't imagine what it would be like for a 9-month pregnant woman to be on the back of a donkey and what that drive would be like. But they do, and that's end up in that spot. But let's take for a moment and look at this. For those who know me, I really do enjoy some historical criticism, sort of looking at the scripture and trying to place it within a historical context. And so as I started to do that for this sermon today, I began at the inn, which was the inn. So much of our tradition wraps around that last phrase, Jesus was born wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. Even Michael shared in a sermon the storybook that he wrote for the children, how St. Francis of Assisi helped move people around that story by creating that whole narrative and that whole image of Jesus in the manger and the animals and the shepherds and in some cases now the wise men all gathered around. But if we look at it for just a second, we see things maybe just a bit different. So let's start with the inn. I started to look at that word, and the word there that is used to describe an inn is probably more appropriately translated to the word guest room or guest house. In fact, it's used again in Luke 22, and there it's referring to the upper room where Jesus meets his disciples for that feast. So in other places in the Bible, it's translated to guest room. But here in this case, most commonly as inn. The other thing we know about the period is that there weren't inns like we have. I mean, when I think of an inn, we think of, you know, a roadside hotel, Hampton Inn, maybe. We think of those kinds of things. Those things hadn't been developed. They won't be developed until much later, and only first then in places like Jerusalem, larger cities, not in the small town of Bethlehem. So maybe then it's not so much that there's no room in the inn, but there's no room in the guest room, which changes things for a little bit. Because now what do we know about ancient architecture? Well, we learned that in these peasant homes, that most of them are constructed of one major room, and then a small room is attached to it or detached, and that is the guest room. And that's where people who were traveling came to stay. Now, back in that day, of course, they didn't fly to Cancun for a vacation. They would go to visit family and friends for feasts and celebrations and important holidays and family moments. And so they would stay with family and friends, not in hotels like we have the opportunity to do. And so these guest rooms were very prominent parts of their homes. So now we begin to think, okay, so the story goes something like this, maybe, that Mary and Joseph are going to Bethlehem for the census, and then if we look at the beginning of the phrase, it says, while they were there. So we understand then that maybe Mary and Joseph actually had been there for some time, staying presumably with Joseph's family. This is Joseph's hometown. And so they are full, though. The whole house, the guest room is full, because all of these family are coming back to be counted for the census. So now we encounter the story where they're there, they've been there for a while, it comes time for Mary to give birth, and the whole house is full. So what does the family do? Well, the next thing we know about this ancient historic architecture is that this one room served a multitude of tasks. It was usually one large room with an elevated loft or sometimes a second floor where the family would sleep at night, and during the day they would use the whole of the house. But at night, they would often bring their cattle, their animals, into the home with them. And they would live in there overnight to keep them from the dangerous weather, from the wild animals, and from thieves. And additionally, they think that it helped to keep the house warm with all the added body heat. So then a manger was a traditional part of the home in this period. It was a stone usually embedded in the ground, a carved out stone that held water for the animals while they slept in the house at night. So now all of a sudden we see this manger and we hear the proclamation of the angels to the shepherds, and it's starting to make sense to us that this Jesus, this Prince of Peace, this Messiah is being born in a normal house and will be laying in a normal fixture of that normal house of peasants, people like us, normal people. And so now the story evolves more. This child is born. There's no room in the guest room. And so they clear out the livestock. They make room within the house. And now you can imagine maybe that the women are all gathered around Mary as she gives birth to this new life. And the children and the males may be up in the loft and maybe outside avoiding it. But in any case, we see the whole community making space for God to be born with us. For me, that changed the way I looked at this whole narrative. For so long, I just thought of Jesus being born, rejected and isolated. But instead, we see Jesus being born in the midst of real life, in a real home, in a real place with real people. And it took those real people to determine and decide that they were going to make room for God to be born in their midst. Maybe our job as Christians, maybe our response to this, not our job, our response to this is to carry on that same kind of hospitality, to make room for God in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our workplaces, and that our job of making room allows God to be in those places too. I want to tell you another story about a young couple great with child, and its story, though, involves me. My wife Emily and I moved here almost 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years April. And our first weekend here, we unpacked our stuff in the apartment, and literally I was coming back from Target getting trash cans and random shower curtains, the things you don't realize you need at a new place. And I opened the door about midnight, and she's standing there with the pregnancy test. We found out we were pregnant the very first night we stayed here in Nashville. So here we were, a couple moving 333 miles from anybody we knew. And at first, when you're just two, you think you can make it, but then you realize, well, I'm going to have a child, and we got to do this all on our own. We had no structure or support, no family, no friends, nothing. So we began to look as quickly as we could. We visited almost every Methodist church in this community. And let me tell you, it was hard. It is really hard to go into a church you know no one and sit down and try to experience worship and try to make friends. In fact, we ended up here, not because we connected with people, but we connected with the worship service, with the choir, with Michael's sermons, with his place, and the fact that we could walk here was another benefit. And it took many months for us to feel connected to this place at all. We would come and we'd worship and we'd sing and we'd leave, desperately looking for someone just to eat lunch with, just to talk to. Poor Emily had to deal with just me. She needed more. We needed more. And it wasn't until someone invited us to a Sunday school class. Incidentally, the name of the class is Making Room. And it wasn't until that point in which we went into this place and got to know some people that this church made room for us. It created space, an opportunity to encounter God in this place in ways we never imagined. We created friends and really family who will last with us for all our life, and children to play with our children. This church, through its Sunday school offerings and through the braveness of someone inviting us and meeting us to that place, and made room for us. So maybe making room is not just about making room for God, because again, Emmanuel is not God with me, it's God with us. So maybe our response to this with us is that we become creators of space. We make room for those to come and join us. That we look around our pews today, and instead of being scared whether or not they're members or not, we just say hello to them. And we invite them to come to Sunday school. We invite them to go to lunch. That we're those sorts of people so that we can allow God to have space in our lives. So may you be bearers of making room. Yusuf stayed with us for a couple of months. It turned out he was enrolled in a language school at Georgia Tech. And it took our work with the Georgia Tech faculty, and it took the faculty at the school I worked at that spoke French to figure this whole thing out. And then it took our whole friends who had clothes the same size as him to keep him warm through the winter here that he'd never experienced before. It took my family who allowed him to come on family vacations. It took all of us, and it took Yusuf too, to create space so that he had a home, so he had a community, so he had a place. Our job then, our response to God's grace to us, is to make room for others and to make room for God. Amen. One of the ways in which we help to make room in this world is by standing and joining with the millions of other, billions of other Christians in the world. But particularly, there are 14 million United Methodists in 80 countries in this world. And when we stand and we say these words, these affirmation of faith, these things that we believe, we are united with them. We're making space for them across time and space so that we become one in Christ. And so think about it. 14 hours ago today, the Japanese Methodists stood and stated these words. Then it had across Asia and across Africa and Europe. And now comes our time to stand and turn to page 883 and share with each other and with God that which we believe. Hear especially the first words. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Hello, I am Sue Smith, and I've been a member of West End for 30 years, and I still remember the first Sunday school class I attended here. Soon after moving to Nashville as a total stranger, I joined West End. Through a business organization, soon after that, I met Erwin Edwards, now Fisher. She invited me to attend her Sunday school class, CUC, or Christians Under Construction. At that point in my life, as a single working adult, I had not attended Sunday school since I was a child. At my most recent church in North Carolina, I attended worship, but I did not participate in anything else, feeling somewhat excluded by not having a family. Well, I took the step. I accepted Erwin's invitation, and I am so glad I did. Through this class, I made new friends, and new opportunities to learn and to serve opened up to me. One enduring opportunity was connecting with seven wonderful women who started the Bible study group that is still meeting today, 28 years later, even though less regularly. After a while, another small group of us started the Sacred Journeys class. This was a more intimate group led by Sally Honor. We learned to use spiritual practices to enrich our inner lives and strengthen our faith. We came to know each other on a deeper level and learned to trust God to help us with our daily struggles. Years later, when I married a West End member, I joined my husband in the Bible and Spirit class, which we still attend. This is a group of approximately 25 adults of mixed ages who enjoy a warm community of fellowship. We are led by Sam and Nancy Jones, who schedule wonderful guest teachers for us throughout the year. We focus on Bible study and faith issues. Currently, Heath Jones is teaching us about 2 Isaiah. Our class is a safe place to ask questions and discuss how the scriptures help us in our everyday lives. We participate in various church outreach activities and also enjoy celebrating Christmas with a covered dish dinner. By participating in West End Sunday schools, I have learned the value of small groups. The benefits are enormous. Sharing our faith, developing a deeper level of trust, learning about the struggles of others. Not only has this helped strengthen my own faith, it has made me more compassionate and less judgmental of others. We are all on a faith journey, and Sunday school is an ideal place to continue to study, to learn, and to share. A place to ask questions, which may lead to more questions and a deeper level of thinking and spiritual awareness. Sunday school exposes us to new ideas and often leads us to other unexpected experiences and opportunities to share our faith at West End and in the community. All of these classes still meet every Sunday. In fact, there are 16 adult Sunday school classes here at West End. I love the diversity at West End, and I can assure you, you will be welcomed in any of these classes. However, if you haven't found one that it looks exactly right for you, then the great thing about West End is that you can start one. So if you're not sure, ask a friend or ask one of us old-timers where we would recommend you start. Or talk to Nancy Hawthorne, our pastor of spiritual formation. And don't forget the website at West End. There you'll find a description of each class and help you decide which ones to visit and which one is best suited for you. And I do encourage you to join one. It is the best decision I made at West End. Participating in Sunday school classes has given me a strong sense of belonging at West End and has enabled me to have a deeper level of trust in God and to share caring relationships with a wide range of folks I never would have gotten to know otherwise. So, do yourself a favor, join a Sunday school class this year. It will help you maybe have a deeper understanding of West End's vision statement, the loving light of Christ, connecting, transforming.
And United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. If you're a college student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to meet with our student community and eat lunch together in room 322, the Fireside Lounge. We gather each week to have faith discussions and fellowship. Our focus for the weeks leading up to Lent is finding your place in the family of God. We invite guests, members, guests who feel like members, everyone, to go to the Sunday morning class table in Reed Hall to get recommendations for classes. We all have a place in God's family, a place where we are held in love. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church and a fresh-baked treat for you. I invite you to take note of the gray card in the pew rack. One side of the card may be used to record any comments you may have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests. Please indicate on the card if these requests are to be shared or kept confidential. The card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please also take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service today. Today, our community offers sympathy to the family of Hilda Johnson Kilgore, who died Wednesday, January 14th. Services were held at Harpeth Hills Funeral Home on Saturday, January 24th. We also extend our sympathy to Fran and Kathy Bass and their family, who are mourning the death of Fran's stepmother, Nancy Minnick Bass, who died on Monday, January 19th. Services were held at Calvary UMC on Saturday, January 24th. Let us now pray to the God of light that we may make room for the promise of Christmas in our lives all year long. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. That there may be more love on earth, Lord, we ask you to dispose people to be more understanding and friendlier to one another, and to share more readily with those in need. So we pray together, Lord, let your light shine through us. That there may be greater justice on earth, dispose governments and public officials to make room in their priorities and budgets for the socially deprived and those out of jobs. We pray, Lord, let your light shine through us. That there may be more peace on earth, dispose all nations to put an end to words of hatred and threats of revenge. We pray, Lord, let your light shine through us. That there may be more joy on earth, dispose all those who follow your Son to show sympathy and affection to one another, to be faithful in our friendships and concerned about our communities. We pray, Lord, let your light shine through us. That there may be more faith on earth, dispose all your sons and daughters to live as children of light before you and in the sight of people. We pray, Lord, let your light shine through us. Lord God, we pray that your light may shine on all the earth. However limited we are, let our words and actions reflect the light of your love. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, who taught us to pray for the world, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having received new life through the generosity of God and hope Christ brings, let us give thankfully and abundantly with God's tithes and our offerings, that we may truly be called God's generous people.
Sing unto the Lord, sing a new song. Sing, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Oh, sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Thank you.
I would like to invite the congregation to be seated as those being presented for membership make their way to the front. We're excited to have a great group joining this wonderful family of faith known as West End. Right here is fine. A few more making their way up. Perfect. Well, allow me to introduce. We'll begin with Ben. So I have to put my glasses on, Steger. Ben Steger and Chad Nordic. They're joining for an affirmation of faith, Nordic, right? Yeah. They are a wonderful addition. They've been worshiping with us for years, and they've, for quite a while. I exaggerate. They are both in the food service industry, but Chad is a professional ballroom dance instructor, so we're hoping, was, once you were, you always are. We're having an all-church dance in February, so we're going to maybe put you on the spot to kind of get us going. And Ben is a dramatic arts, performing arts major in school, and he's really excited about the theater upstairs. So God sent them to us at just the right time. Also like to introduce Elizabeth Kahn. Elizabeth's joining and is already pretty well connected to the young adult community here at West End, and she's a consultant with a company, I think our office is in Brentwood. Yep. Then we have Rob Martin. Rob's right here on the end. Rob is in law school right now, and he is engaged to be married to West End member Sarah Hughes, sitting back there. Say hello, Sarah. Excuse me. And last but certainly not least is Kate Canty. Kate has been worshiping with us for years. She is wonderful. She's very capable. She's actually on the wedding committee, and even Ella has great confidence in her and her leadership in the wedding committee, so you know she's good. So we're glad that you are finally joining after 5 years. She's the only one who's a United Methodist transferring from First United Methodist in Clinton, Kentucky. Great. All right, if y'all will face me, the first question is for the four of you coming from other traditions. And we recognize as United Methodists all Christian baptisms as being legitimate and where God is working in the act of baptism. It's not up to the church or the denomination. So you're being received as members of Christ's universal church. So I ask you, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say, I will. Great. Now, all of you, Kate, you included, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, a congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If you will, say we will. Great. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters, do all in your power to welcome in these brothers and sisters, increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and welcome you in Christian love as members of West End United Methodist Church. As members together in the body of Christ, we renew our covenant.
May the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that we may be true disciples all of our days. Bless you.
Thank you.
And now may you go out into the world as makers of space, those who make room for those we greet. First, may you make room for children, for Ruby, a new addition to this family, who entered into covenant of baptism today, not with just her parents, but with all of us. May we also make room for our new members today, but still remember those who are traveling and staying with us, those who are relocated or dislocated, and even those whom yet we have not seen. Make room for them and make room for God with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.